The recordings are started.
Thank you very much. I am Mathieu Vey, the CCNSO appointed co-chair, and it's my pleasure to welcome you to this plenary meeting of the CCWG Accountability Workstream 2 on February the 22nd. For this meeting as well as for the others, we will use the Adobe participant list as the roll call. And I'd like to invite anyone who is on audio only at this point to take the floor now so that we can add them to the roll call, if there are any.
Hi, Mathieu. This is Keith Drazik. I'm on audio only. Thank you.
Thank you, Keith. Glad to have you with us. You've been added to the roll call. Anyone else? Okay, so that's it for our roll call. I'd like to ask also whether there are any updates to the statements of interests. No, no updates. And our standard reminder of the ICANN's expected standards of behavior to be our guidelines for these goals as well as on the list. I think we've come to a point where respect is the basis of our work, and that's essential in the bottom-up process. Good. So moving on to item number two with a quick update on participation from the other two co-chairs. They've been sending their apologies, Leon as well as Thomas. So I'm afraid you'll have to deal with one and only one co-chair this time. And I promise that they will make it up to you by sharing more of the next sessions, or maybe offering me more drinks next time. That's the kind of deal we have between the co-chairs. Next agenda item, if we can move to the slide on the agenda so you can see that our call today has a key part, which is the second reading of the Good Faith Guideline work product. And we would also like to have some discussions about the timeline for our group, and of course prepare for our face-to-face meeting, which is now approaching rapidly in Copenhagen. Are there any comments on the agenda? I need to mention that my Adobe room is having issues right now, so I can't see any hands. But certainly I can get some things in the chat.
I'll flag any hands for you, Mathieu.
Thank you. Thank you. Adobe is restarting.
There are none right now.
Excellent. Thank you very much. So moving on to the administration updates on the next slide. We have action items from previous meetings. Bernie, any update on the action items? Or Karen?
I'll do it since we're ready. Staff to include good faith document for a second reading. We have it here, published jurisdiction questionnaire that has been done to arrange the consultation on transparency that went up last night. Sub-team rapporteurs to review their timelines. We'll be discussing the timelines later on in this call. Co-chair discussed with PCSD possibility of using remainder of community budget for next fiscal year. Mathieu has sent an email to Xavier Calvez, and we are waiting for a response. Co-chairs prepare communication with the chartering organization regarding potential extension in progress, depending on results of this meeting and the results we get from Xavier Calvez, co-chairs and staff, to request a date for ICANN 59 face-to-face meeting, and that has been confirmed the day before ICANN 59. Those are all the action items, sir.
Many thanks, Bernie. Any comments regarding the action items? We're all on track on this. So, unless there's a hand that my IWB Connect room does not show because it's still half frozen, I suggest we move on to the next item, which is the legal committee update. And it's a very complicated update since, to our knowledge, there are no pending requests. Yes, please.
You've skipped two items under administration.
Oh, sorry.
An update on ATRT3 and travel funding for ICANN 59.
So will you give us the update on ATRT3 then?
It was considered by the GNSO at its last call. I think they're still working on giving us a response. And I believe we've gotten some feedback from inside the GAC that they're hoping to give us a response on our request for an abridged ATRT3 by the end of the month, or at least before Copenhagen. That's ATRT3, and might as well keep on going for travel funding. The applications are now open. They will be open until the end of Copenhagen. So we're all going to be very busy. This is simply a reminder, if you want to apply for travel funding, may as well get it done for ICANN 59 in Johannesburg. Thank you. That completes this part.
Thank you, Bernie, for the updates. I note that in the chat, Greg is mentioning that a question might be coming up this week for the legal group. The jurisdiction subgroup call is tomorrow, same time as this call. And so it's great to have a heads up. Thank you very much, Greg. Now, if there's no other comments on this administration issue, we can move to the legal committee update, which you've all been expecting. And yes, there are no pending requests. The slides in my AC room are weird, I would say, sort of stuck in the middle. Okay, and now it's moving better. And now we move to the moment with some substance, the second reading of the Good Faith Guidelines subgroup document. And for introduction, I would like to turn to Lori to sum up the main items of the document. I think the first reading went very well, and there was no very substantial comment or changes made since then. But it's always good to remind us of the content and precise guidelines that we have in this. Lori?
Yes, hello. I will tell you that I have not received any even private feedback. There's been no changes, which I'm taking as a very good sign.
Lori.
I don't have the document. Yeah?
Lori, you're going to have to mute your speakers. We're getting a lot of feedback from you right now.
They are muted. Let me do it again. Is that better?
Ah, yes, that's better. Now we're good. Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry. They were muted. I had to mute and unmute them. Crazy. Anyway, so what I was saying is that I didn't even receive any private feedback. So nothing on the list, nothing tapping me on my shoulder when we were in Reykjavik last week. So as far as our group is concerned, we're finalized. I don't have the document up on the screen, but if you recall from last time, basically the document suggests that in order for, I'd rather actually, are you putting that up now? We would just need I think it's the page of the report that has the guidelines. I would go straight to page 3 to help the group. But very quickly, the description of the issue is, in order for members of the empowered community, the designees of the empowered community, to enjoy immunity, which means they would be legally protected from any counteractions from board members or anyone else in a process or a discussion to remove an ICANN board member, that there should be certain behaviors that are followed and certain processes that are followed to ensure that there is a standard of what we call good faith. And the group decided as a team that really what we would do is make a very more like an umbrella set of guidelines that how an SO or AC decides to enter into discussion in terms of their own internal processes, voting, procedures, that would be up to the SOAC. However, there should be an overarching standard for the entirety, for the entire community in terms of what the process, the framework around the process. And so we acknowledge that according to the recommendations in Workstream 1 that a petition for board removal may be for any reason. It must be believed by the indemnified party to be true, be in writing, contain sufficient detail to verify facts if there are verifiable facts asserted, supply supporting evidence if available or applicable, include references to applicable bylaws and or procedures if the assertion is that a specific bylaw or procedure has been breached, and be respectful and professional in tone. And then there's a second part, the SO, which I just, referred to in the beginning, that the SOAC shall have procedures. We won't dictate what the procedures are, but there are certain minimum requirements for the procedures that would include reasonable timeframes for investigation by the SOAC Council or the equivalent, whoever the decision-making body is, if the SOAC deems that an investigation is required, that there's a period of review by the entire membership of the SOAC, that this process is consistent and transparent in terms of voting for accepting or rejecting a petition, and that there's documentation of the community process and how decisions are reached. And to clarify, in terms of transparency, all transparency means in this context is that the SOAC has a voting method that it publicizes, but the voting itself can certainly be a secret ballot. So the idea is whether or not these guidelines should be a must or a should. And the group decided that the guidelines must be followed because there's enough flexibility under each category. So in other words, and we use this as an example that I think would be helpful for the group. Let's say there's a board member who wears purple pants to every board meeting, every ICANN board meeting, they're wearing purple pants. And they are appointed by an SOAC, and their SOAC decides, hey, we're tired of the purple pants, we're going to remove this board member. And we can remove a board member for any reason. So to take this extreme example, and I agree, absurd example, but nonetheless an apt example, is that in order for the petition for removal to be valid, it may be for any reason, so the reason would be the purple pants, that it must be believed by the indemnified party, and the indemnified party is the designee from the SOAC, to be true. So the designee would say, this person's wearing purple pants, we see this as, and we want to remove them because of it. We put it in writing, and it contains sufficient detail to verify facts. So what's the fact? Purple pants. Well, I observed purple pants being worn at the February meeting, and I observed purple pants being worn at the June meeting, and I observed purple pants being worn at the October meeting. Then, if there's any supporting evidence, maybe have photographs of the purple pants, if available or applicable. Include references to bylaws and procedures if the assertion is that a specific bylaw or procedure has been breached. Well, in this case, look at the bylaws. There's absolutely no bylaw against purple pants. So all an SOAC would do there is say there is no applicable bylaw. And, of course, be respectful and professional in tone. We felt that this is important to remind the community that these are administrative procedures and should be done in respectful in professional ways. Within that, once that petition is there, maybe the SOAC Council says, hey, we want to investigate whether the purple pants are being worn, and they do their own investigation. Or maybe they say that's enough. That's up to the SOAC. There'd be a period of review by the entire membership of the SOAC. And it would be the SOAC who would say, hey, the period of review could be 90 days, 180 days, 20 days. That's, again, up to the SOAC as long as it's documented. And that there's a consistent and transparent voting method. How that works, the SOAC would establish its procedures for voting this up or down. And then, of course, the process would be documented for the community. So that is how a board removal for the cause of, or I won't say cause because we have no cause, but board removal for a member who's wearing purple pants and their purple pants was not acceptable. Now, I understand this is an extreme, but we felt like we wanted to put an extreme in so that the community would understand how this works for cases that are much more obvious. Of course, if a board member is accused of failure to, you know, perform any of their fiduciary duties under the bylaws, if a board member steals, if a board member impugns somebody in the community or is spreading false tales about someone in the community, I mean, those are probably more likely the causes. But if you take an extreme cause like the one I just explained, then these guidelines work. Our group also had two standalone recommendations that we thought would be worth the community to consider. That one, that there'd be some sort of standard framework developed and used to raise the issue of board removal to the respective body, whether the SOAC who appointed the member or the decisional participant in the case of a non-com appointee. So the idea is now is we have guidelines and we have the bylaws, and now we have a sense of what it would take to remove a single board member, more than one board member, but we still don't have sort of that operational piece that we think would be very helpful. Secondarily, we have a recommendation that perhaps it would be a good idea to have good faith guidelines apply across the community. Even though indemnity isn't involved, we feel that the structure that we propose makes some sense, put some nice fences around process and a framework that could be followed in other areas. I'm sorry for coughing. So there are no specific requirements for implementing these recommendations. They do comport with the Workstream 1 report. Our rationale, I'm going to presume that everybody read, but I will just repeat a few lines, that we really want to have something that's overarching, not limiting, respecting the Workstream 1 requirement that members can be removed for any cause, but still have an expectation and a standard that would trigger the indemnity and to protect those who are actually, making the motion to remove the board member. And I'm going to stop now.
Sorry. Take your time. I'd like to first open the floor for any clarifying question before I officially ask for any objection to the report being put for public comment as our draft recommendations. Any question? I am seeing no question. Your summary is very clear, and we're all have purple pants pictures in our minds right now. So that's also a benefit of this group that I think many did not anticipate, is the potentially the outcome being that we come out of these meetings with very weird pictures of board members in purple pants. So that's one of the various benefits of this group. This is really encouraging. Any objection to the approval as a second reading of these draft recommendations and putting them up for public comments before Copenhagen? I don't anticipate any. I think we have full consensus on these draft recommendations. congratulations, Rory and the Good Faith Group for a very clear, concise, and yet very detailed and clear document. I think it's an outstanding example of what we can do as part of Workstream 2. And really, congratulations on that. I also would like to make sure that in the action items, we have a mention that staff is now to prepare public comment announcements so it can be issued. And this also brings me to the idea that we will have three outstanding public input processes in open during the Copenhagen meeting. One is the jurisdiction questionnaire. The second is the transparency recommendations public comment, which has been issued today, or yes, I think it's today. And the third one will be the good faith guidelines. As a consequence, it's certainly useful for everyone, and especially the members liaising with their respective SOs and ACs, to probably request some time to engage your respective communities about these three public comment inputs. And I would like to suggest that we add an action item for staff to prepare with the various subgroups and rapporteurs a set of standard slides that we could all use to support this engagement process during the Copenhagen meeting. And of course, if we can add purple pants as part of the meeting, that would be an extra benefit. I am not sure this has been taken care of in the budget process, but we'll certainly liaise with Xavier and the finance team about this in the next few days. So congratulations on this important milestone. I think we can now move to the next agenda item, which is actually preparing for the face-to-face meeting in Copenhagen. I think we'll move back to the slides. The key for us in this meeting is to make sure we make the best of our face time. So we would like to give priority to the first or second readings that we could obviously review during the face-to-face. It's certainly very useful in general to have these kind of substantial discussions. So the question to the subgroups is on the screen. It's which are the subgroups who expect to have documents ready in time for the face-to-face meeting discussion? That means that documents should be distributed to the plenary with subgroup sign-off no later than March the 3rd, and whether there are any other subjects to be discussed at the plenary. I would note, while you are thinking and wondering whether your group is going to be ready, that we have reached out to the ICANN president and CEO, Yoram Marvi, in order to offer an opportunity for another discussion with him and the group. And so if this invitation is accepted, we would certainly try and fit this in our agenda as well. Any groups that think they could meet this March 3rd deadline in order for us to have a discussion in Copenhagen? I see in the chat we're still on the purple pants. That's predictable, obviously, that such a discussion cannot die down easily. Any rapporteurs willing to update the HR group is a possibility, Niels? That's what I note. Regarding a couple of groups that I'm seeing some progress in, is staff accountability willing to, is are you going to be ready for in time for Copenhagen? While you think about it, I see that Cavus hand is up. So, Cavus, please take the floor now.
Yes, I have asked 3 times kindly to ask a speaker to speak slowly. I have no difficulty to 100% hear you, but I have difficulty for Laurie. I did not follow what he said. He speaks very, very rapidly and also very excited and emotional. Please speak slowly. This is a request, an objection for the people who do not follow that. The Chief Del Bianco has kindly now followed this properly, but others continue to speak rapidly. We don't understand. I'm very sorry. Please, I put 3 times in the chat and no one read that. And I have objections. Either the chat is working or it's not working. You want that I always ask a floor in the Adobe connection? Chat, it doesn't work? Please, tell this distinguished ladies and gentlemen, speak slowly. This is not my mother tongue. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. Your request is now noted. Obviously, it's sometimes difficult for speakers to speak and at the same time follow the chat. So I fully sympathize with Laurie not being able to do those 2 things at the same time. But considering it was a second reading and so on, I think we take note of that and we'll try to follow a pace of speech that enables everyone, even if it's not, if English is not their mother tongue, to follow the discussion adequately. I see, Niels for HR is mentioning a possible deadline on March 7th, which would be derogatory, but probably still acceptable unless there's objections here. I am aware of the staff accountability group being on track for at least one of their documents to be reviewed. Is the SOAC accountability group going to be ready as well? Because I think it's making a lot of progress recently. Anyone from the SOAC accountability group here? Not seeing Cheryl or Steve. Cheryl is on, but on the mobile, so maybe not able to have good audio. And Steve is not with us, and Farzane not with us. So we'll liaise with the AC accountability, staff accountability groups. I think diversity has a questionnaire to be discussed. So I think we'll have a pretty good agenda already on this issue, with at least 3 to 4 groups, substantial propositions to be discussed. I noted in the mailing list today a comment by Sebastian, but I'll come back to that later because David, your hand is up, and maybe there's going to be something from the IRP group.
Thank you, Matthew. It's David McCullough for the transcript. Yes, I wanted to, even though we're not basically a Workstream 2 subgroup, I would like, on behalf of the IRP implementation oversight team, to request brief time on the agenda in Copenhagen just to give an update on where the IRP team is. And the purpose is twofold. One is to get the word out to people that need to hear it. They'll hear it from us in emails, but people in the SOs and ACs who have a role in helping to shape the standing panel. And I will make that clear also in that presentation. And I will also make it clear in that presentation to people in the room that may be direct customers of the IANA naming functions that they have the ability under the bylaws to craft some kind of special rules of procedure if they feel they need it for claims involving PTI services. And the other purpose is simply to remind folks that the IRP IoT is in work and to sort of keep it up even for members of our team that will be in the room. We face a challenge that many groups do, that there's fatigue that's set in, and I want to sort of reinvigorate the folks that are involved and to help us. The new IRP is in place as of October 1st, but the rules, putting together a standing panel and things of that nature, still need to be done, and they're very important to give this new IRP real life. So I'd like maybe 10 minutes for an update. Thank you.
Thank you, David. And will you be able to update the group as well on the summary of the comments received in the comment period which ended a few weeks ago?
Yes, I will be. We are working on those now, and I'd be happy to include in my update a description of what those comments are roughly and where we are in the process of dealing with them.
Thank you, David. I think that would be very useful, and so probably we'll allocate a little more than 10 minutes for that.
Thank you, Matthew.
So Sebastian is next in the queue because, Sebastian, you shared a document and suggested a discussion on the list today, so I'd give you the opportunity to introduce that proposition.
Thank you, Chair. Sebastian Bachelet speaking. But first, I wanted to ask if you were asking about first or second reading, but maybe it could be useful to have a 10-minute slot for each of the subgroup to explain where each of the subgroup is, and to have some small exchange on that, just to keep everybody informed at the level of the situation of each and every subgroup.
Agreed.
And the second, thank you for giving me the floor for that. Yes, I sent a document today, a draft document, and no worry, everybody can disagree with the whole, with part, change. It's just a document to help the discussion, because in participating to some of the subgroup, I got very often the question of this, can it be done by the ICANN Ombuds Office? And yes, no. Sometime can we put that to the new office created by the CEO during the last meeting, or at the last meeting of ICANN, the complaints office, and sometime all the discussion also come to, but maybe we need another place to put some specific things. And I would like very much that we have this discussion together. Comments before will be very useful to enhance the document and to allow a better discussion during the ICANN meeting in Copenhagen. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. So I would encourage everyone to comment on the list on the proposal that's been shared. And we'll definitely try and include this in the draft agenda for Copenhagen. And so our action item on that at this point is for staff to reach out to rapporteurs to confirm and in order to establish a draft agenda for the face-to-face, which will be shared, of course, in advance. And if there's anything last minute that comes up, please do share any additional proposal on the list so we can track and try and accommodate the best schedule as possible. If there's no other comment on the agenda for Copenhagen, we can move to the next agenda item, which is a follow-up on a previous discussion regarding schedule and timeline. We've been asking rapporteurs for some estimates for a while, but also we've been working with staff in trying to plan ahead the various parts of the next steps once a first set of recommendation is approved. I will hand over to Bernie to try and share what we are seeing in terms of prospective, bearing in mind that our intent here is to, as discussed last time, is to be able to provide the ASOs and the ACs, as well as the ICANN organization and staff, some visibility about when do we plan, is it reasonable to expect that we would complete our work. We're not trying to set a deadline. We're not trying to pressing or rush things, but trying to do our best to provide estimates that are realistic and that enable everyone to be able to plan resources, as well as the volunteers to understand exactly what the time frame we're working on. So, Bernie, can you try and provide those details about how we've approached this and what the tentative outcome would be, please?
Yes, sir. Thank you. Try to boil it down. It's a little bit, I'll speak slowly, Kabusa. It's a little bit like trying to boil the ocean here. There are a lot of moving parts. I've used one approach here based on estimates from Mathieu and our standard timelines. And Mathieu, do you want to take a point from Kavus now or after?
Let's hear Kavus now.
It was me, please. Hello?
We can hear you.
You hear me?
Yes, okay. Yes, we can hear you, Kavus.
Yeah, okay, thank you. You could ask rapporteur to give a guesstimate of the timeline and so on and so forth. But similarly, you could advise the rapporteurs not to repeat what has been discussed and agreed. It happens that in some group, one or two people are absent, the other remaining people agree on something, and the two people absent, they come and upside down the entire decision of the previous people, saying that we were not there, so we don't agree with that. That is not a good excuse. Secondly, timelines for other issues, for instance, IRP, for the review, we have discussed even in face-to-face meeting. And when you were chairing the meeting and Becky proposed something for 45 days and 1 year, it was almost agreed. But now people come in and come back and want to review that. And it is repeated to the petitions. This is not allowed. We should not repeat because some people want to make a perfect of everything. It is not possible. We have agreed on something which is consensus or which is the best of possibility, making everything possible for everybody to agree. But I don't think that you should leave the time for the people to go to the details. In the human rights, we have discussed for weeks that drug principle may be used as a guideline, and now people say that it's not to be used at all. So this is contradictory with what we have discussed. We say it is not good. We say that it may be used according to the circumstances and conditions. And now some people that will say that there is no agreement to approve the drug principle. We are not going to approve the drug principle. There is no principle how to carry out the discussions. The people are doing as such. And sometimes either the chair or some people, they are so much flexible and accept everything. There should be some rulings. So you could not open the time for forever. There is a limitation. There is a budget limitation. There is a time limitation for others. Maybe some constituency, they have many possibilities. Others, they don't have. They are limited. So please kindly, if you ask more time, put a condition, provided that they avoid not to repeat the issue which has already been discussed, not to avoid to reopen the issue, and not to go to whatever people say that making perfection enemy of good. So these are the criteria and conditions. Is it possible you put into the request? And I kindly ask the people to put that in the notes that this is what I have said. There is a budget limitation, and I don't think that we have ample time to do that in addition of the budget. We are busy elsewhere. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Cavus. I think it's important to note that indeed in such discussions as ours, it's important that everyone follows the process. However, we also need to achieve stable consensus. We are definitely working on that in the plenaries, and we want to make sure that we have an outcome that everyone is comfortable with or at least can live with. And our rules in order to close an issue are the consensus assessments that are mentioned in our charter. And as co-chairs, we'll certainly be very careful to use this with the relevant process, which we've been actually improving on in the last few weeks. So I think your point is well noted and where you're coming from on this. And certainly all the rapporteurs are keen to make progress on their groups as well. Avery, you wanted to speak as well on this point before we get into the details of the presentation. Please take the floor.
Yes. Yes, please. Thank you. This is Avery speaking, and I want to beg with greatest respect to differ on this issue. I think in the subgroups, first of all, we don't reach consensus there. The consensus is indeed reached in this group. We reach a subgroup, a degree of consensus. I think that we have been working on bits that really, until the whole thing of a written document is agreed to, it is a fluid piece. We also have very much agreed that it takes multiple readings. And yes, we say two readings, but if after two readings there are still open issues, the discussion should be allowed to continue. Certainly the chairs or rapporteurs, and I'm speaking also as a rapporteur here, the rapporteurs do have the responsibility at some point to say, we've been through this 14 times, no new arguments have ever come up, you know, it's still a minority of one. But when, you know, a subgroup is still working through things, when there's still more than one or two people that are discussing and perhaps we're not part of, you know, all the meetings, we made it a condition at the front that we do things multiple times because not every time, excuse me, I just remembered I was speaking too quickly, so I will slow down. We've gone through things when we do meetings at different time slots because we know some people will miss some because of work, because they insist on sleeping at night, because they have families. So therefore, it does take multiple passes. And until things have been sent to this group, they are not at the ICANN consensus point. In fact, until we've gone through comment and gotten back comments from our communities, we have not reached the consensus point. We're just on our way there. And many people who are bringing up issues are bringing up the issues of their community and issues that will come up in comments later. One of our responsibilities is to make sure that as much as possible we've covered every subject as completely as possible, taking into account as many of the differing opinions as possible. So with all due respect, I disagree with needing to put a tight discipline on the behavior of subgroups of once we think we have agreement, that's the end of the story. Thank you.
Thank you, Avery. I've seen a lot of support on this in the chats. The only rules we have are the charter, and I think it's expected and part of the process that we'll see issues that we think we have settled being reopened, that happened in Workstream 1, that will happen in Workstream 2. It's going to be for, if it's coming again at us from a public comment, it's probably going to be for a good reason, because some people have concerns or issues, and it's going to be our task to try and find new positions. So I think we need to be prepared for that. But back to the exercise we were trying to have, I'm seeing Cavus, maybe a short intervention, Caruso, because I think we're still on a slightly different topic as the one on the agenda. But
it's not a different topic. You asked about the timeline, and that is exactly on the topic. So I don't like it with lineup of those people who delayed the meeting and now they're coming one after the other and justifying the delay that they have. Two people said that they were not at the meeting. They don't agree with what I've agreed. This is not correct. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. I think we note the different views here, and I want to express the support from the co-chairs on for all the rapporteurs who I know are doing their best to drive this process forward, and that's the case for human rights as well as the other groups. And I think we all need to think about how we can support them in their work in order to help the group move forward and address any concern that is being raised. So, Bernie, would you like to give us some of these ideas about the overall timeline this time delays or timeline that are not related to our ability to find consensus, but also related to the various steps in the process as outlined in our charter?
Yes, sir. Thank you. As I said a few minutes ago, we've tried to break this down into bite-sized pieces that maybe people can understand. If the analogy we've used doesn't work for you, I apologize, but we're trying. So we've broken it down into a few basic building blocks, which is block A, the CCWG accountability, approving a public consultation, or the finalization of recommendations. Now, with the timing rules that we have, it says that we need the CCWG community to have the document 7 days before the first reading. And in our current procedures, we have 2 weeks between readings. So that gives 21 days. That's just a reality. It's 3 weeks from the time subgroup publishes something to the plenary list, which is 7 days before a first reading. Then there's the first reading, and then there's 2 weeks before the next reading. I think that's fairly simple. Next, we do public consultations. So block B, the standard is it takes staff about 2 weeks from the time that the CCWG plenary has approved something for public comment. Staff have to go through the document of recommendations and clean it up. Sometimes it's very simple. Sometimes it's a bit more of a challenge. We have to write up the prep notice, and we have to work with the ICANN web staff to get the thing up, and that's usually 2 weeks. And staff usually produce a summary of public comments after they're done, and that usually takes about 2 weeks to gather everything and publish a report. But again, those are general numbers. Yes, I understand. If there's only 4 comments that come in, it's going to take less time. But on a usual CCWG comment from the experience of the last few years, it's 2 weeks and 2 weeks. The public comment period is 6 weeks. So if you add the 2 weeks plus the 2 weeks to the 6 weeks, we've got 10 weeks as a block for completing a public consultation. Any questions at this point? Not seeing any. We're almost through all this heavy stuff here. Once a public consultation is done after that 10-week block, it comes back to the subgroup to analyze the results. Now, here there are two options that are described. Either it came back and there are no real changes that are requested, or only minor changes. So in that, we've said it takes about a month, 4 weeks, for the group to familiarize themselves with the comments that have been made, agree there are minor or no changes to go through it, and then publish, if you will, a final that has to go back to the plenary, and that is Block A. So, again, based on experience, we have about 4 weeks. The other option, C2, is if there are non-minor changes required, meaning there have been significant comments, there are some changes required, the subgroup has to work to recreate a draft that has significant changes in it and to send it back, and we're stating that for estimation purposes here, it takes about 2 months. I mean, but if there are significant comments, the subgroup has to go through them, has to understand them, has to decide on how it wants to address them. Then they have to fix the recommendations accordingly, republish a draft, and get it to the plenary. And we estimate that's about 8 weeks. Now, hopefully the painful part is over here. If we use those blocks, A, B, and C, the shortest path to completion, if we're using one public consultation with minor changes, meaning if there are major changes, obviously there will be a consideration if we want to go to a second public consultation. But if there are not, that means there's Block A to get it approved by the plenary, Block B to do the public consultation, C1 because there are low changes, and then it goes back to the plenary for approval for final recommendations. So that's 3 weeks plus 4 weeks plus 10 weeks plus 3 weeks for a total of 20 weeks. So if we walk through that, then we will see, and the order is wrong. It's obviously 3 plus 10 plus 4 plus 3, but I believe the total is correct for 20 weeks. And 20 weeks is 5 months. So basically, if we begin that A process on March 1st, that means we would complete that process on 1 August 2017. On 1 April, we would finish on 1 September 2017. And on 1st May, we would finalize that process on 1 October 2017. Now, just for comparison's sake, if we look at what it takes to do two public consultations. So there's our Block A, which is getting it through the plenary. There's our Block B, which is the public consultation. There's C2. If we're going to do two public consultations, it's because there were some significant changes or non-minor changes. So that's a C2, which is 8 weeks instead of 4 weeks. Then we go back to B, which means that we have to take it again to public consultation, and then a C1, and, oh, sorry, I mixed up the things here. It should be an A, and then we go back, once it gets approved by the plenary, it goes back to public consultation. And so we end up with 38 weeks, which is 9.5 months. So if we do the same calculations, something that is submitted to 1 March to start the process A, i.e. it's going into the plenary for its first reading, and we're going to end up with two public consultations. It's going to close on 15 December. 1st April would close on 15 January 2018, and 1st May would close on 15 February. So it's just to give you, I mean, this is not intended to be a finality and perfection. However, these numbers are based on the experience we had from Workstream 1 when we were doing these things. And to give an idea when the end dates fall, if we are doing these things this way. And so well, some of the things we have to consider also is should the nine subtopics be joined at some point, i.e., are we aiming for one public consultation per topic and then join them all together so we can look at the interdependencies between the recommendations in one final report that will go for a big public consultation? Or should we go for a separate public consultation but join for chartering organizations and board approval? So anyways, this is the background. I'll turn it back to Mathieu for discussions.
Thank you very much, Bernie. And yes, it was a little detailed maybe for some of us, but I think it's worth going into this level of detail to lift any, I think, any doubt that it will not be done by June 2017. So we need an extension. That I think a good thing to be explaining why we're not going to meet that particular expectation, and that when we're thinking about an extension, it's safe to say that this should be at least one of our nine subgroups, which is going to be going into a two public comment process. I would be very surprised if that were not the case. So we're really going to go into fiscal year 2018, so until a good part even of 2018, with a very high probability. And that's important for us to convey to our various stakeholders, to our employers, to because it's there's still going to be a number of steps. And of course, Bernie did not try and map a key part of the process, which is the approval of the chartering organization, then the interaction with the board, and so on and so forth. So we need to be prepared for a long haul effort and manage our energy accordingly. But what we'd like to do here in this part of the meeting is collect your inputs or early feedbacks on the timeline overall, but also on the questions that are currently on this slide, because they would be very helpful to sort of provide a clear expectation from the chartering organization as well about how we're going to close. Are we going to go for an incremental subtopic by subtopic approach, or are we going to present our recommendations in the end and at what stage as a full package? And I think we would like to hear from you as a first discussion on this issue in order for us to take that forward, maybe try and draft an approach in time for the Copenhagen discussion we could have. I am seeing Cavus' hand is up. The queue is forming. Cavus, you have the floor.
Matt, is it something urgent that we decide, or is it just a side discussion? This is difficult to take any position either side, altogether or step by step. We need to have some, not exactly detailed, some sort of consequences of either way, advantage and disadvantage. Then we will be able to see which case is counterbalanced to the others. So perhaps we should have, either by a coach or by somebody, some of the advantage and disadvantage of this. Otherwise, it would be absolutely difficult that, apart from the wish of the people that this is best, the other is not, we can't get anything. And we don't want to have any doodle on that. So let us have some more logical process to see what are the advantages and disadvantages of going step by step or going all together. Whether it goes step by step, it has some impact to the remaining part, or whether we should not have impact on the remaining part, in particular for the case of the two public comments. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. And that's the point of this discussion is precisely to start collecting the respective views of the participants and members regarding advantages and disadvantages of these different options. Sébastien.
Thank you, Mathieu. First, I have a question. That on this slide, the second point and the third point, what is the difference? I have the impression that the same thing say in a different way. I really think that we need one way or another to have a full report or document from the Workstream 2 with all the different Workstream put together and subgroup work put together in one single document. And I think it will be fair enough to have this open for a public consultation before going to the chartering organization and then to the board approval. Thank you.
Thank you, Sébastien. I think this, there's no question that there needs to be public consultations before going to the chartering approval. But it can be different public consultations for different parts of the report, or different approvals from the chartering organizations, or it can be reunited as a package. And I'm noting the arguments in the chat regarding the ability for volunteers to be sort of released once a point is completed if we have an incremental approach. And for the chartering organizations, it might be easier to do only one consideration of one package rather than being asked to approve nine different sets. So that's really the kind of discussion we have now. David.
Thank you. Thank you, Mathieu. David McCauley for the transcript. I would like to add my voice as a strong supporter for one public consultation at the end. And one coherent document. And I participate in several of these groups, and I can easily see potential overlap. And because of that potential overlap, there are potential inconsistencies. It's almost as if we're building an accountability railroad, and there are nine groups building track different places. They have to match up at the end. And I think that we would be – I saw Neil's point in the chat that we could – you know, if it was nine – separate reports, we could let those folks go who finish early, and there's some merit in that, but I think the balance of equities in this case would go to giving the board one coherent document rather than asking the board to sift through the inconsistencies and perhaps having the later groups to finish have their inconsistencies simply suppressed because they were done too late. I really think one final coherent report would be well advised. Thank you.
Thank you, David. I know this point on consistency that you've been raising earlier, and certainly is an important one. Tijani. Tijani, if you're speaking, I cannot hear you. Am I the only one not hearing Tijani?
No, I'm not hearing him either.
Thank you, Cheryl.
You are not.
Okay. While we were trying to fix this, Tijani, I suggest we move to Cheryl and come back to you later. Cheryl.
Thank you very much, Cheryl, and all for the record. I am firmly, I am afraid, in the camp of a single final document. I also think that at least for a number of these issues, we will end up in the two public consultation situation because some of these issues, and like Avery and several other people, I am in all of the groups, so I definitely understand what David's talking about in terms of inconsistency, and I also understand what that in terms of the desirability for those people who have finished work to be able to get on with other work. But I do think the risks are far too great if we do not end up eventually with a single coherent package that has had all its I's dotted and its T's crossed and inconsistencies checked for. I also think that it will be a false economy if we do not allow the support organisations the opportunity to both have a look at particularly the larger and more complex issues as a more separate system. So, for example, transparency is going out for public comment at the moment. That's great. Other topics should too. But I do think we need to then come back at the end game with a single consistent package. Otherwise, we are going to have no actual overall saving in time, because at the end of everything, groups will lobby for, but hang on, we didn't think of this 12 months back when we were reviewing an aspect of our first package. Thanks.
Thank you, Cheryl. We'll take that in the notes, as well as Michael's comment in the chat. It's been pasted in the notes as well, so that we don't lose the essence of the argument. Tijani, maybe your audio is fixed now. Can you take the floor?
Yes.
Okay, great.
Yes, do you hear me?
Yes, very well.
Okay, thank you very much. Reading the three last bullet points, I didn't understand at the beginning the intention behind it, but now I see it very well, and I see the merit of having the reports be merged at the end, because as David said, there is sometimes overlap, and perhaps an issue in a group can be solved by the report of the other group. So yes, there is a merit of that. But I have a big problem, because we are not going on the with the same pace. I see that there are some subgroups that are very well progressing, and others that are not. So how will we solve this point? Shall we ask those who are very well progressing to slow down or to stop working till the others will reach them, or shall we address the reports already? Shall we not address the ready reports till the other reports come? This is a problem too, and I see that some subgroups will not finish this year, and perhaps not next year, because we are not really progressing. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Yes, that's an issue, and we certainly need to discuss how we would address this case, although I don't have anything to offer as an answer at this point, but I think the discussion is really, really useful. I am going to close the queue after Cheryl, because we're getting into second interventions on the same topic, so that's a sign that as an initial preliminary discussion, we've probably reached the points where a sufficient list of arguments has been provided. But let's give Sébastien Cavous and then Cheryl the floor, and then move on. Sébastien.
Thank you, Mathieu. Sébastien Bachelet speaking. I want to support David and Cheryl. Proposal to have one single document at the end. But taking into account the discussion in the chat, maybe this we can suggest the following, that each subgroup go to the end of their work with one or two public comment, and they have a final document, and then it's us as the plenary who will put all that together, and then will be some discussion on what is a decision on some topic who are in discussion in two subgroups, but it will be our as a plenary to decide and discuss to have the final document. If one subgroup finish the work, they are finished, and it's now in the end of the co-chair of the, in the plenary. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. Next is Cavus.
For second intervention. The topics are so different from each other that I don't see any valid reason why that when a topic is completed, we have to wait another X month until the last one is and put them together. Second, it would be heavy for the responder to see a bulk of documents which are not interrelated, particularly those who do not have various experts to review various things and assign them. Why not at least to try to see whether we have two groups, one group in some group of time and some frame of time, and the other in the other group, at least to make it easy for the reader and for the responder to have some time, and for those who are ready not to wait for the last one. Why not we could not consider having two categories? Category one, those who finish and are interrelated relatively, and the others who finish later and are not interrelated. Is it not a thing that we could study? Thank you.
Thank you, Cahus. Suggestion is noted indeed. Cheryl?
Thank you very much, Cheryl and Janelle, coming back for a second intervention. My reason for coming back is to react in a supportive way for what Robin and Tijani has both noted, both in verbal and chat interventions themselves. And I think Sebastian's point picked up on certainly what I was meaning when I first spoke, and that was, whilst I am a firm believer in a do some blocks as they come through, as we are doing obviously in things like transparency and the more complex issues, but tie it all together as a final single package, that doesn't mean that we can't tie off earlier on pieces that are completed. So, for example, it is quite likely that the piece on good faith is going to be tied off quite effectively, quite efficiently, and then left until it then has a final integration into a final package. So it's not keeping the topics open. It is tying off those threads, but it's then bringing those threads into a, dare I use my metaphor, well-woven rope, with greater strength and integrity in the final end game. And that's pretty much the way Sebastian outlined the work of the individual work teams at their own pace going to conclusion, but the work of the plenary. And yes, it may be that a few people will be less involved at the end, but that's okay as long as they can be involved. But it'll be the work of the plenary to bring the final package together. And to be honest, the numbers of people in our plenary listed as participants and members versus the numbers of actual beavers working in the sub-teams and, of course, we assume putting the final package together are so markedly different that you are going to have very little effect on the energies of your whole team, because the workers will continue to work and the naysayers will continue to naysay. Thank you.
Thank you, Cheryl. I think this was a very useful exchange of initial views. Certainly we need to take into consideration that there are other stakeholders we need to get input from, and that it, of course, I'm thinking of the chartering organizations themselves. But at this point, what we have is an initial list of pros and cons of the various approaches, some variants of the approach. So my suggestion is that we put an action item for co-chairs and staff to summarize this discussion as a discussion paper that we can put on the agenda for our face-to-face meeting in Copenhagen to move this conversation forward, And then, obviously, we will have to liaise with the chartering organizations to understand their own expectations, whether they would agree to certain approaches or whether they have very firm views about how this should be taking place, especially at the approval stage. So thank you very much, everyone, for contributing to this discussion. Obviously, the math that we had initially in the slides were inspiring to many of you, and it's good to see that a few figures can trigger imagination on some of these hard issues about our timeline. And I hope this this was useful, as useful to you as it was to us co-chairs on this on these issues. And it's good that we can anticipate on that and not discuss these while in the rush or urgency of wrapping things up. So I think it's a good project planning we're doing here. And Cavus, I noted your suggestion. They're definitely not set aside. We're not setting anything aside at this point. Next agenda item is actually a very short one with one question. Do we need a plenary meeting next week on March the 1st? Which would mean that we would base ourselves on the documents received by tonight. I'm not aware of anything in the pipeline that we would require that would be ready in time for discussion next week. So unless there's any objection, I would suggest we skip the plenary on March the 1st and consider the face-to-face on March the 10th as our next plenary. Jorge is also mentioning that there is an IGF open consultation on March the 1st. So I think that goes the same in the same direction. Okay, so no objection. So staff will cancel the March the 1st plenary, which was a placeholder in case we needed it. That's clear. And now turning to AOB, and I noted on the list that Avery suggested to raise a point as part of the other business in this call. Avery, would like to explain the point you mentioned on the list?
Sure thing. This is Avery speaking. So one of the things we noticed in staff accountability was that we were getting all tangled up in what we meant by ICANN. Did we mean ICANN, the multi-stakeholder organization? Or, you know, when we wanted to refer to ICANN staff, some people started using ICANN.org, but a lot of people didn't like that. And it was, you know, are we talking about the trinity of board, staff, community? How do we discuss them separately without prejudice and having pretty much a equal, I mean, the same terminology through all of our documents? So now, I mean, we're thinking about just using ICANN to be the multi-stakeholder organization, and then board, staff, and community as simple terms for the three entities in the trinity that make up that multi-stakeholder organization. You know, we could go ICANN board, ICANN staff, ICANN community in each instance, but that's a lot of ICANNs to put in the document. But it really occurred that we shouldn't be the one standardizing, because, again, the coherent document, whether it's one document or multiple documents, need to use the same term. So thought that I should escalate that to WS2, and the subgroup agreed that, yes, it should be escalated to this group, so I've done so. Thanks.
Thanks, Avery. I think it's an excellent question, and we definitely need consistency across our various documents. We've mentioned that in the previous item. So my initial suggestion would be to look for volunteers to maybe initiate a draft for our plenary consideration, maybe in Copenhagen, so that we start sort of a glossary that we should use across the various subgroups on these issues. I think that that would probably be helpful. Giving you some time, Avery, because of the volunteer might be someone who's been already confronted to this issue and has given some thought about it. But I'm turning now to Sébastien, if your hand was raised on this issue, Sébastien, or on another business.
Thank you, Mathieu. Sébastien Bachelet. It was raised for two issues, this one and another one. When I raised this question this morning during the subgroup about staff accountability, I noted that the question is more important today than it was prior to the meeting in Hyderabad, because the staff is now called by the CEO, and I guess he asked all the staff to call the staff ICANN organization. And as I tried to explain, I have trouble because I was thinking that ICANN organization was all staff, board, and the community. Then I think your proposal to have a small group working, that is a useful one, but we need to reach out to staff and maybe directly to Joran Marby, because he's one of who has some power around that, and it's an important element to take into account. That was for the first point, and if you want me to defer my second point that we finish this discussion, I will be happy
yes,
to
please.
Do so.
Yes, please. Thank you. And I noted your point about if we manage to have if Joran accepts our invitation, that might be one of the discussion items. That's a very good point.
And I want to add, Mathieu, that I am volunteering if a small team is build on that to participate if needed. Thank you.
Thank you very much for bringing yourself up for volunteer for that. I see Kavu's hand is up now.
Yes, it is an interesting issue. Now, Sébastien mentioned that ICANN organizations means ICANN staff, board, secretariat, plus ICANN community. This is one understanding. One of the colleagues, not in the accountability group, but in other group, mentioned that we have two categories, ICANN organization and ICANN community. We are entirely different from each other. So there is another version. And then we have to talk, what is ICANN organization, what is the staff? Is the staff not part of ICANN? So it is good to have something making the clear distinction between ICANN organizations, including a staff, board, secretariat, everything, and then ICANN community, if that is to be retained. Otherwise, we need to have clear. Currently, everyone has its own interpretation, so it merits to be discussed, and perhaps at the plenary meeting, if the time permits. So, thank you.
Thank you, Kavus. I see Tijani, then Alan, and then we'll close this item for the moment. Tijani. Tijani, your mic seems to be muted. That is what appears in the AC room, at least.
Do you hear me?
Yes, now we can hear you.
Do you hear me now?
Yes, Tijani.
Okay, thank you very much. So, there is an echo.
Can you speak now, Tijani, please?
Do you hear me now?
Yes, Tijani, it's good. No echo.
Mathieu, do you hear me?
Yes, Tijani.
Mathieu, do you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Thank you very much. So I said that it is really a problem to have people speaking about using the same terms for a different meaning. And this came with the new definition of the ICANN organization by the new CEO. I think that the simpler is the best. There is ICANN community, ICANN staff, ICANN board. As we said, there is too much ICANNs here. There is too much names. We have three parts of ICANN, and we need to call them. So you can remove whatever, you can call them whatever you want, but we need a unique definition for everyone. I think that discussing this in the plenary is very good. A working group for that, I don't know if it is useful or not, but it is very simple. We need to agree on a simple name for each part of ICANN. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Alan?
Thank you very much. As has been noted by Sebastian and others, the new CEO is pretty wedded to using the term the organization, implying the staff. A number of us have attempted to change that, and it's not likely to change. So my suggestion is this group going forward accept that, whether it's optimal or not, and work around it and come up with consistent other words. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. So what we'll suggest is for a very small group, we'll ask on the list who wants to be part of this, but to informally and just on the listening, no need for extra calls for that, sort of try and draft something that can be used for every subgroup and report that to the plenary so that we can have a plenary discussion about this. Let's try not to spend too much time on this, but I think it's necessary, as Avery was pointing out, in order to ensure consistency and to ensure that there's no confusion when people read our recommendations and our documents. So the action item on this is going to be for staff to reach out to the plenary and ask who wants to be part of this small drafting team. We noted Sebastian's is already a volunteer, and let's not have too many people, but start with the document and try to keep it simple. I think that's a very good advice. Sebastian, you had another point. I'm seeing a hand. Tijani, is that an old hand?
Old hand.
All right, perfect. So, other business, Sebastian.
Yes, thank you. Mathieu, I wanted to raise the issue of where we are with the Ombuds external review, because it seems that there are some discrepancy in what the subgroup was thinking supposed to do and what is the reality today. After the last mail I sent saying that we have decided that we were supposed to be involved in the process of choosing who will be doing the external review, I didn't have any information, any comments from staff on that. And when I say staff, it's not the staff who are taking care of us here, but the one taking care of the reviews. And then I wanted to raise that publicly and see if the co-chair can help us with that, because for the moment, I hope that we will get some news at our next meeting on next Monday, but it's some time left after that to decide. Will be very short. Thank you.
Thank you, Sebastian. I suggest we we craft a request for information and update together in the offline, and I mean the co-chairs and you as rapporteur, so that we can request this information that your group needs in time, or at least in a very short time, so we can get updated. Is that okay with you?
Yes, definitely. Thank you very much, Mathieu.
Thank you, Sébastien. So that's a small action item for you to liaise with us on this request for information regarding Ombud review. And I note Robin's request as well to have the slides discussed today live on the web. It's going to be part of the wiki page regarding this meeting, unless I'm mistaken. So I think the answer to your question, Robin, is yes. And that's the part that will be sent along with the notes. I think we've had a good and very productive meeting. If there's no other business, I think we can move on. And I'm very excited to say that our next meeting is going to be face-to-face, so we'll be seeing each other in Copenhagen for those of you who can make it for this meeting. And I'm really looking forward to all the progress we'll be making in Copenhagen and all the productive discussion we'll have there. So thank you very much for this meeting. Safe travels to all who will be traveling there, and looking forward to meeting you face-to-face or remote in Copenhagen. Bye, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Bye. Bye, all. Bye.